And it's that in this instant, you begin to contemplate and begin to comprehend a hope for the first time ever, a hope that is eternal, a hope that is indestructible, a hope incorruptible, a hope unconquerable, a hope unchangeable, a hope imperishable. A hope that in the past has been so distant from you. It's been a hope maybe for others. It's been a hope you've only watched in movies. It's been a hope you've only heard about in stories. It's been a hope that others have testified, but not you. But for the first time ever, this hope is slowly or maybe surely and instantly actually becoming your very own hope.
Good day, listeners, and welcome to Live in the Light. Hey, thank you for making Live in the Light a part of your day. And today we're excited to begin a brand new mini-series looking at a word that is often spoken of, but equally often misunderstood. And that word, hope. Pastor Robbie, our teacher, is in our studio right now. And Robbie, we personally love that word hope, right?
We do love hope, man. Hope is everything. Hey, Craig, the hope of glory. Today we get to unpack the living hope, the hope that's alive, man. Our world is trying to fish for hope, like cross your fingers type of hope, but that's nothing. How about the hope that Jesus Christ provides and gives? Again, the hope that you are guaranteed you will receive as you are in relationship with Him, man. We get to unpack this, Craig, for several days. Of course, Easter, man, just upon us. There is no greater message of hope than Easter itself, and that's largely, again, what this whole series is based upon, starting with a fundamental passage dealing with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, hey, Live in the Light listeners, you're in the right spot if you want to be encouraged, man. Now is the time. Let's do this. Come on, Lord. Would you change lives in the process and be excited to see the community of people listening so encouraged in faith, resulting in the glory of Jesus Christ. That's our prayer. That's our prayer. And we're so thrilled to bring this message to you today.
Amen, Robbie. And hey, another reason, listeners, before we get to God's word today, that we love the word hope is because the church that Pastor Robbie and I are both a part of, it's called Hope Bible Church. And in fact, as you look ahead to the Easter service weekend, we'd love to invite you to join us at Hope Bible Church, 500 Great Lakes Boulevard in Oakville, Ontario, for one of our Easter services. You can check out all of our service times online at hopeoakville.ca. Awesome. Okay, Living Hope is our series. And so without any further delay, let's dive right in and join Pastor Robbie in 1 Peter 1 with today's message.
Welcome to church today. We're thrilled that you are with us, and our whole purpose of today, we are speaking on the theme, of course, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which leads to this living hope, living hope, living hope. I believe without exaggeration, I do not hesitate to say so, living hope, living hope. Listen carefully. It is the most powerful thought, emotion, and reality a human being can have. Living hope, living hope. The first Easter morning, the women go to the tomb. An angel appears to them. The angel says, "He is not here. He has risen." The women are confronted with this astounding news. They experience emotions of fear and astonishment. They run, as they are told, to quickly tell the disciples. They run to tell the disciples. Specifically, the Gospels tell us they run and tell Peter and John, two of Jesus's closest disciples. Peter and John then run to the tomb to see for themselves. John beats Peter to the tomb because John was in better shape. Oh, I'm not sure, but he just beat him anyways. Maybe he's faster. He's faster. John stoops in to look at the tomb. Peter then arrives a few moments later. Peter actually goes into the tomb. He sees the clothes that were on Jesus lying on the ground. He then sees the face cloths that were surrounding Jesus' face folded neatly again within the tomb. John then goes in, and the Bible says, he saw and he believed. He saw and he believed. Now, let's take a Bible time out for a second. As we always say around here, let's try to live in the text. Imagine you're one of the disciples. Put yourself in the shoes or the sandals of the disciples, okay? Friday was awful. Friday was horrific. Your Savior, the one that you look to for the salvation of God's people, Israel, and maybe even beyond that, this Savior had died, not just any death, a horrific death on the Roman cross of crucifixion, the worst possible way to die again in that time, if not ever. Friday was awful. The grief that was just starting to set in, then if you were able to sleep like a minute on Friday night, think of the loneliness and despair of Saturday. Again, the stages of initial grief, of shock, of bewilderment, of what has just taken place. Then you have Friday, Saturday leading to this moment on Sunday morning at the tomb because all hope was seemingly lost for the disciples. But then Mary shows up and she cries out the news. We saw an angel. He says, he's not here. He has risen. And as a disciple, your brain registers what you heard, but your first notion is certainly unbelief. There's no way. Too good to be true. Come on. We believe that that's an idol's tale. The Bible says that they reacted in that way. But then suddenly you might recall the prophecies that Jesus said over and over again. And suddenly the synapses of your brain connect. And adrenaline is released into your bloodstream and your heart begins to physically pound through your chest. A rush of adrenaline indeed. Energy surges through your body and all your senses are suddenly completely and totally firing. You rise, check that. You run. As you run, the anticipation, the shock of what you've heard, the potential and the exhilaration that you're feeling. You get to the tomb. Indeed, the tomb is empty. You look, you stop. Listen, you believe in that moment. And the greatest level of seemingly indescribable hope begins to flow through your entire soul. As one of the disciples in this moment, you've never previously known a depth and power of hope like this ever in your life until right now, that first Easter morning. And I said, in this instant, you begin to contemplate and begin to comprehend a hope. Listen, for the first time ever, a hope that is eternal. A hope that is indestructible, a hope incorruptible, a hope unconquerable, a hope unchangeable, a hope imperishable, a hope that in the past has been so distant from you. It's been a hope maybe for others. It's been a hope you've only watched in movies. It's been a hope you've only heard about in stories. It's been a hope that others have testified, but not you. But for the first time ever, this hope is slowly or maybe surely and instantly actually becoming your very own hope. This living hope is found only in Jesus Christ. And that is the precise hope, listen, we unpack and deploy today by God's Spirit in this place. Now, I'm gonna love you right now. And let me say, don't say I didn't warn you, okay? Because right now, God by his Spirit is deploying hope across this space in this building for all who are listening, live stream, whatever it is, okay? The Lord is deploying hope. A hope of unfathomable, again, riches and blessing and joy. This is the hope we speak of. And we're going to unpack that today in the book of 1 Peter in your Bibles. If you want to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, near the end of the New Testament, goes Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, obviously before 2 Peter. These verses will also be on the screen for you if that is easier for you today. But I encourage you to open up a copy of God's Word. We believe this book was written by God himself. When God writes a book, we should read it and we should preach it. And that's what we're going to do right now. 1 Peter chapter 1, just a few verses going to change your life, we pray today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this. Peter says, blessed be the God and Father. So blessed, honor, praise to. Peter's fired up, man. His faculties are operating in praise and worship and excitement. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Here why? according to his great mercy, according to his great mercy, he, God, has caused us to be born again to a, here we go, living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Why? To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Where? Kept in heaven for you, who by God's power, listen to this, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Living hope is our theme of this text. Living hope is the hub of our text. Living hope is the greatest game changer ever. But we ask, why? Why is that so? Why is living hope the greatest game changer ever? That's what we answer this Easter. And we're going to find out a few things about living hope right now. The first one is this: living hope. Number one, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. Living hope is God-given, God-granted, and God-generated. I want to say that again because I want you to hear it. I want you to understand how important this theology is. Living hope is God-given. Only God can grant and generate this hope within our lives. See, where'd he get that from? Verse 3, look at verse 3. According to his great mercy, I got no points on my own, man. All my points are in God's word every time. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. So notice, God is the source of hope. God is the giver of all true hope. Now notice this. Notice carefully, not just any hope, a living hope. What a phrase that is. A hope that it is alive. A hope that is life itself. It's so beautiful. So the world defines hope as kind of, look here. Hope is, I cross your fingers. Oh, I hope it works out. Oh, I hope the Leafs win the Stanley Cup. Like that kind of hope, you know what I mean? And so it's not a certain hope, but the hope that the Bible speaks of is a hope that's a guarantee. It's a certain hope, a sure hope. Again, verse 3, he has caused us to be born again. So God is the first cause. God is the first cause of creation. God is the first cause of salvation. The phrase born again gets a lot of traction even in our day today. It's amazing to me. The phrase born again can be used in a derogatory term. It's often used and misunderstood and misapplied. Let's make sure we understand what God says and what God means when he says born again. It's a beautiful term. Born again, according to the Bible, really what it means is new spiritual birth. Look at it this way. Everyone in this room right now has been born once physically. You came from your mother's womb. You were born into this world. You have physical flesh, brain, heart, lungs. You are living right now. You have been born once physically. Every person ever lived, every human being, born physically once. But if you want to gain access into heaven, this is what is so paramount. Jesus explains to us, you must be born again spiritually, because every one of us has a soul. But our soul must be born again, must be made alive by the Spirit of God. Just in case you want to see more than 1 Peter, Jesus says in John chapter 3, he's talking to a man named Nicodemus. He says this, listen. He says, no one will enter the kingdom of God, heaven. No one will enter God's kingdom, one of his children, unless they are born again. Jesus says, you must be born again. He doubles down on that a few verses later. He says, in fact, you cannot see God's kingdom. You will walk through this world and all you'll see is the temporal stuff around us. You'll live for the money, live for the sports, live for your job, live for your paycheck, live for the car, whatever it is. You won't see God's kingdom because you can only see God's kingdom if you are born again. You must be born again spiritually, which God alone can cause us to do. So what we're also learning here then, to call a person a born again Christian, to say that person, as opposed to differentiating a born again Christian from another Christian, a born again Christian is redundant. That's a redundant phrase. There's no such thing as a non-born again Christian. So here the Bible's teaching us right now. There's only one kind of true Christian. The one kind of true Christian is he or she which has been born again by God, because God alone causes us to be born again to a living hope. But amazingly, happened to me this week in conversations, and people still call themselves Christians as opposed to some other religion. And yet right here in verse 3, again, the only true people that actually know Christ are those who have been born again. So many people attend church over many weeks and many months and sometimes decades. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, many will approach him at the end. He will look at them. He'll say, get away from me. I never knew you. Because you have not been born again. You have not placed your faith for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. You had a religion. You had no relationship. That's massively important right here. God has caused us to be born again to a, notice, to a living hope. This is where it gets really, really exciting and beautiful. Let's unpack living hope. Notice it's not a lively hope or an exciting hope or a fired up hope, as much as those things can go with it, but living hope is the foundation. Why? Because our hope is living, listen, because it's not in a principle, rather our hope is in a person. And this person is Jesus Christ and he's alive. Therefore, if our hope is placed in Jesus Christ who's alive, then our hope is also alive. Therefore, we have a living hope. So you see this hope that Peter's speaking of here in 1 Peter chapter 1, it's a hope of life. It's a hope of immortality. It's a hope that has its roots in the empty grave, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why for the truly saved Christian, living hope becomes an expectancy. It guides your life. It fuels your motivation. It grips your soul. It's a hope that's alive within you every day you live. It's the certainty of your future. It's the guarantee. Listen, it's the guarantee that the best is truly yet to come. And for all those who are saved in Jesus Christ, man, that is our reality. Now, Warren Wiersbe has this very powerful quote, and I want us to kind of sit on this and try to digest it for a bit because I think it's quite profound. You know, these quotes you got to read a couple of times really to kind of really take it in. He says this. Just in the context of living hope today, unsaved people have a present that is controlled by their past. Now think about that. I think that's so true. So for people without living hope in Jesus Christ, your identity and worth and value is based on who you've been in the past. Your current situation, your joy or lack thereof or happiness or up and down is all based on what has happened previously. But put living hope into the equation now. Wiersbe says this, but for Christians, born again Christians, they have a present that is controlled by their future. See, my worth, my identity, my value, my purpose is actually in Christ. Therefore, it's everything that I have been given in Christ, which is to come in the life to come, which all my promises, my inheritance, my adoption as a child of God, all that Jesus has done, it's his worth, his identity, his value, which now becomes mine, his future. My future is now impacting my present. That's the power of hope. But so different again than, oh, I hope it works out. This is the biblical living hope, which is only found in Jesus Christ, rooted in the good news of the gospel. Let's take, for example, this past week, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods wins his 15th major. I mean, that's amazing. Good for you. That's so good. I think it's his fifth green jacket, maybe sixth, whatever it was. Okay, he gets that. But think about this. Everything about Tiger Woods' identity in the present is predicated upon what he's accomplished in the past. Without his past, he has no purpose. He has no meaning. We all watched him go up and down during the success and failures of his life. And without his past, there really is no purpose in his present. But you could be the biggest loser according to the world in the history of the world. And if you are found in Jesus Christ, man, then you have infinite worth and hope in Jesus Christ because of everything he has done and nothing you have done. The power of saying, I've never won a green jacket. I've never won a tournament. I can't even play golf. You know, I'm no good at anything, but if Jesus Christ is my savior, I have infinite treasure in him and I will be found as pure and spotless because he has made me so. And you can kill me. You can hurt me. You can do whatever you want. It'll never tarnish my hope found in the living hope that is alive because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That's the power of the news that we hear today in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're gonna clap for that. Amen. I want you to see, some of you are like, man, well, man, if you knew my life, man, I don't have access to this hope, man, the sin that I can't believe I'm here right now, man. I've had people looking at me and judge me and whatever. Okay, I want you to look at verse 3. I want you to see it says, according to his great mercy. How great is God's mercy? Much greater than your sin. I'll tell you that much, man. It is overwhelmingly. You think of mercy. Think of it. You're at the ocean and the waves keep coming in. And you're standing there and you're getting pummeled by the wave. And you try to stand up, but the current and the waves are so strong. It just knocks you over again. That's the wave of God's mercy. It just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. And you try to fight against it. You try to ignore it. You can't, man. And in the end, the wave after wave, infinite mercy comes over you when you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? There's no love at Easter like the love of Jesus Christ. I saw this week and I had to put this up for all you to see. No bunny loves me like Jesus. No bunny, right? I love that so much, man. No bunny can love like Jesus. You get a couple of chocolates, good for you. Good. How about eternal life? How about the mercy of God? How about the grace of God, which is inexhaustible in every measure? Let me see a bunny do that, okay? Jesus Christ, the Lord, is the one who produces the hope of the world and the greatest love and compassion we could ever, ever imagine offered to you today through his life, his death, and his resurrection. Living hope, it's God-given. Secondly, living hope, it's resurrection certified. This is where we get our hope from. We know what has been accomplished. Look at verse three. Again, my only message is found in God's word. Was born again to a living hope, watch this, through the resurrection of the dead. Now, what do we learn here? Church, we learn this. Loved ones, visitors, friends, family, again, people are here, we learn this, ready? If you want living hope, there is no other way to access living hope other than the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All roads of living hope, there are no exceptions to this. If you want true hope that is alive, that is indestructible in its joy and purpose, the only road that goes through, again, that leads to this hope is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, some of you still haven't understood this and you're like, why would you say that? Because it says it in the Bible right there, verse three. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, okay? This is why the resurrection in the Christian faith is the most important event in the history of the world and utterly paramount. If Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, we have no faith, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's remind ourselves of what the resurrection guarantees. The resurrection guarantees that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sins. When he's raised from the dead, God has accepted that payment in full. It guarantees that Jesus was victorious over death. It guarantees that sin, Satan, and death have been forever defeated. It guarantees the believer's forgiveness and innocence before God as judge. It guarantees we will reign with the Lord in heaven. It guarantees that one day soon we will receive a resurrected body. Yes, please. Yes, please. A body without sin or pain or weakness, without pride. Oh, yes, please. No wonder then Paul says at the end of one of the greatest chapters on the resurrection in the Bible, want some further reading, 1 Corinthians 15, he says this. He says, hey, death, where's your victory? Hey, death, where's your sting? You know what Paul's saying? He's mocking death. He's like, hey, my Savior, he kicked your butt, death. He stood over you and he triumphed in glory. Hey, death, what do you got in me now? Hey, death, you're not so tough, are you? Hey, death. What are you gonna do? Kill me? Because when I die, I actually start to live in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power of living for Christ. How many of you right now fear death as your number one fear? You don't have to. I'm telling you, you don't have to. There's a beautiful, morbid, beautiful part of me that just looks at death and says, can't wait. This world. Like, you know, I love my family, love my kids, I'm happy, love this, you know? At the same time, it's like, man, it won't be disappointing. Jesus will not be disappointing to see him face to face. Man, what a day that's gonna be. That's called hope that's alive. Hope that's alive. In Sri Lanka yesterday, this morning, bombings in Christian churches seeking to kill hundreds of those devoted to Christ. You kill them, they are now with Christ and their hope really begins. Even though they died. That's the power of living with such hope. And that's why the empty tomb is everything. That's why the empty tomb is the greatest symbol of the Christian church in terms of hope. because our living hope has been resurrection certified. So I mentioned here that you've walked in today to Harvest Bible Chapel. When you leave today, you are leaving Hope Bible Church. We are transitioning this weekend from one church name to another. So Hope Bible Church, we're planning and thinking about this and praying about this for days and weeks, whatever, and thinking the single greatest symbol of hope, biblical hope, again, is the empty tomb. So many people have no hope. So many people are desperate for hope. We have that in Jesus Christ, which we give today. Think of the power of hope in everyday life. Here's the power of living hope flushed out within our lives right here. Living hope, when we have the living hope we're learning about today, that gives you a security the world can only dream of. Think of the rampant insecurity across our world, not sure what's gonna happen, not sure where they're going, not really sure again, living for self. Think of the stability you have. Jesus Christ is the rock. You build your house upon the rock, Matthew 7, as opposed to shaking, sinking sand. But the world, there's this uncertainty. I think I know, but deep down, there's so many questions that human beings have because they can't know without truly knowing in Christ. Living hope brings clarity and joy and purpose. You see why you live. You know why you're here. You know whom you serve and love. But without hope, there's confusion. And these things are growing right now in our nation. These things are growing as much as ever. The levels of despair and depression and mental health crisis and opioid problems and addictions and crisis and suicidal, how many of our youth are starting to take their own lives? I read this week and just suicide, let's put it here. Suicide by definition is the death of hope. It's when you just hope has died. There are some in this room right now and you are suicidal and you've been having serious thoughts and temptations toward this. And by the grace and sovereignty of God in his love, he has brought you to this place today or watching on live stream right now. And he is, the God of the universe is directly speaking to you one-on-one right now. And he's saying, do you not understand how loved you are and how much purpose you can have in my son, Jesus Christ? If you will turn from the world and your sin and believe in Jesus Christ, that he was raised from the dead to defeat death, you can come in here with suicidal thoughts and leave with the greatest hope you've ever known in your life, which will carry you on for all of eternity. By the grace and the gift and the mercy and the love of God upon you. Could it be that you are here right now for that purpose, predestined and appointed by God upon your life? And even as I say this right now, you know that's you. That's what God does. You saw all these baptisms up there on the screen so powerfully articulated and testified to. He takes lives that are broken and he mends them. He takes people that know they need him and he heals them and loves them and saves them and restores them. Amazing. The answer for us, but I'm telling you, the answer is right here in verse 3. It's right here in verse 3. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But living hope just keeps getting better and better. Living hope is God-given. Living hope is resurrection certified. And thirdly, this, living hope inheritance is included. The deal gets sweetened, man.
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light. Oh, yeah.